This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is... you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest. Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Hello and welcome to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm Mike, in again to cover Terence, who is still away. This time he's at the Camera Relays AGM Weekender, so he'll be back next week. But joining me, as ever, is Hesketh and Albert, who's back from holiday. Producer Sam is sick, but she will be joining us. She'll be editing this, hopefully, so you will get this before the game. I am fairly confident about. Otherwise, we're probably going to be talking to no one, but let's hope so. This is a bumper episode. We'll be looking back at the Bournemouth game as well as previewing the tough trip to Watford up north. And we shall try and keep it succinct for you. So, yes, big week with lots of action to analyse. And we'll be back straight after this.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So, Albert, you avoided doing a pod with me last week. How are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't intentional, mate. And it's nice to see that you've taken on the mantle of accusing me of going on holiday when I just haven't been on holiday. But, you know, all good, mate. Back in the game. I mean, I do have crying child here, which was the reason why I couldn't do the pod last week. But I just like to make very clear, especially if anybody from the social services is listening, my wife is here tonight. So she's dealing with that. So yeah, it's nice to be back.
So rather than offending social services, you're just sounding like some 50s guy that leaves his wife to do all the labour.
I've already stuck my head out the door and said you couldn't shut him up, could you?
Great. And Hesketh, feeling a bit worse for wear. Please fill everyone in on why you have been feeling absolutely terrible today.
Well, yesterday was the first of many Christmas do's that my work does, which started at midday in the student union bar. And we then went to play social darts at Flight Club in Shoreditch, which was quite fun.
What's social darts?
Well, I don't know. That's what it's called. You're just playing darts against people that you work with.
Right, okay.
But
it's just darts then.
That's just darts, yeah. Isn't it?
It was a free bar, and
now that is social.
I was very social. I was making the most of the free bar, and I didn't eat anything all day, and I got quite competitive. My team got to the final, and I don't really care about stuff like that. But then there was a guy on the other team who was cheating, and at one point I was just standing behind him booing him.
How do you cheat at darts?
Well, he was very good, and you're supposed to have five people in a team, and he was going for other people. He was taking their goes, even though they were there.
Ah, gotcha. Now that is cheating.
And
what a bastard.
I made a fuss about it, and apparently when I woke up this morning, still drunk, I mean absolutely steaming, I'd talked to a lot of friends on my phone about it, which I don't remember. But I wasn't happy, and I used swear words about it.
Did you get any 180s?
No. Alas, no. To be honest, when I started, I didn't know whether to throw with my left or right hand. It was at the level that I'm at. But I ended up being all right. But I think it was more fluke than, you know.
You were loose. You'd loosened up with the booze.
That's what it was. And then it turns out, throw it with your left hand if you're left-handed. So that's what I did.
Good rules for any sport, really.
And then I went to work and made it through the day. And now I'm very tired. But here we are.
Can I just say, you have skipped a bit out of
which
your
is?
Story. I was just looking at your Twitter feed from last night.
Yeah.
22 hours ago. When was that? So that's not...
About
half 10, which yeah. is, I guess is fairly late, especially if you've been drinking since half 12.
Yeah.
In capital letters, if you ain't Palace, you ain't fucking shit. Hashtag CPFC.
Yeah, I don't remember writing that, but I saw it this morning and I stand by it.
Yeah, I mean, I can go with that as well.
Fair
so
enough.
I'm going to presume that the beer check this week will be quite poor, but let's go for it anyway.
What kind of beer do you like? Heineken? Fuck that shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
I'm drinking fizzy water.
Oh, at least it's fizzy this week.
I thought I'd go a little bit bougie, I think they say.
As opposed to boozy like last night.
Exactly.
No surprises on my end. I'm drinking a Heineken, Mike. What about you? Some sort of disco forklift, baby nappy, pony unicorn glitter bomb, something like that.
My pony unicorn glitter bomb was gone while we were waiting to record. I've actually got a bottle of Singtel now, but I tried last episode in Terence's place to go with something funky and it tasted like shit. So I'm sticking to what I know. right, let's crack on because we have a lot to cover. And we've got some clips. So we're going to start with a clip from Rob. Thank you to everyone that contacted us, Rob included. Had to edit them down a little bit because this is a shorter show than Hambo's one. But you make some good points. Let's go for them.
What a result. It's Rob Wynn again. Oh, happy, happy days. That is a terrific performance. And I think, to be fair, that is our best win. For me, that's our best win. Down to 10 men for 70 minutes of the game. And we weren't even troubled. They had one decent shot, which Guarte, he made a terrific save. He's world class, isn't he? He's world class. We got ourselves a world class keeper.
Yeah, well, what do you reckon about that, Hesketh?
I don't know if I go as far as say world class yet. But I think Great is a fantastic goalie. I mean, we've talked about the difference that it has on the defence ahead of him compared to Hennessy. He just inspires a lot more confidence and he makes important saves when he needs to. You know, he didn't have a huge amount to do against Bournemouth, but he made a very good save towards the end when he got down low to a shot that took a bit of a deflection. I'll tell you what he is world class at, and that's shithouse time wasting. And I am here for it. He knows exactly what he's doing when we need to eat the minutes up a bit. And I think, cynic that I may be, I think there's a place for that when it's in your team, and I love it.
Eating the minutes up does sound like a euphemism, I've got to say. But he did win the Player of the Month award. He got 50% of the votes, apparently, according to the Palace website. Do you reckon
that's about half? Yeah, undoubtedly. I mean, it's been very well documented that we've been on a tough run of fixtures against some really hard teams, and it's credit to the entire team. It's not just Guaita, but we've really, I can't pick one of those performances to say we were poor, you know, let alone embarrassed. You know, I think we gave a really good account of ourselves, you know, particularly against Liverpool. I think the only game where we sort of came up short, you know, Leicester was a bit disappointing in the terms of performance, but you know, they've done way worse damage to better teams than us. And yeah, I think it's just epitomised that, you know, we've lost games, we've not been embarrassed, and you know, the games that we've won in the last couple of weeks, or not even that, the last sort of week, you know, there's been opportunities where the narrow scoreline could have been even narrower, and it hasn't been down to great saves from Guaita. So it's fully deserved. I think IU probably might have pushed him for it based on the performances over the last two games. But yeah, I mean, he's a fantastic keeper, and the confidence that he brings to not just the back four, just the whole team, and you know, and everybody in the stadium. It's such a great thing to see after having some slightly shady goalkeeping performances from various people over the last couple of seasons. You know, I really hope that he's around for a few more years.
I don't know who you're referring to there. Outrageous.
Hands up if anybody knows who I'm referring to.
I was speaking to a Welsh fan that was excited about their passage to the Euros today, actually. So if you are talking about Wayne Hennessy, I will tell you that Welsh fans think he's a bit shaky as well. But yeah, the game itself, the Bournemouth game, if we get onto it. Let's start with what people thought about the best player on the pitch, the man of the match, Jordan Ayew. And we've got Ebo, the man that usually leaves comments for the review pod, saying a few words on the Ghanaian prince himself.
For me, I think Ayew was man of the match. I thought he ran his socks off. I thought he was superb. I think, you know, when we went down to 10 men, I think he caused their centre-backs problems. And, you know, tried to link up play, hold the ball up. Just thought he was awesome. Really did. I mean, this is a player that we all derided a little bit last season, but he's just been fantastic this season. I think today was just his best performance so far. Yeah, it's a bit worrying with Patrick going off, but Schluppi slipped in there. And what I liked about Schlupp going back there, he continued to try and push forward. It would have been very easy for him just to sit back and try and defend. But no, he pushed forward, and seriously, when he got that ball, my eyes just went boom, like that wolf in the cartoons, where I just thought he's going to score here.
I reckon Ebo had had a couple of points by the time he talked about that. He made some good points, but when he got to the wolf bit, I think that only comes from sort of going to the victory for 3 or 4 points after the game. Talk us through, Albert, what you think about Schlupp's performance at left back and Ayew's battling performance that he got man of the match for.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brave man that tries to disagree with the choice of Ayew. I mean, there was fantastic performances all over the pitch. I thought Wilf was fantastic. Kiarte was amazing, especially, you know, given the fact that he had to kind of slot back into, all right, it's a position he plays, but he's barely played it in our team. I thought, yeah, everybody was great, but as I just alluded to in the clip there, you know, Ayew did everything but score, and was very unlucky to not score about 20 seconds before Schlupp did. His hold-up play was brilliant, his effort and his closing down. And I mean, maybe it's less than I remember, but I just, the number of fouls that he won off the Bournemouth players, and just, you know, really kind of like slowed the game down, and his hold-up play was just outrageous. So I'm not gonna try and do a Piers Morgan and pick something controversial just for the sake of it. I fully agree that he was man of the match. And Schlupp, I mean, yeah, listen, he's in the goals and off the bench as well. I think everybody was starting to scratch their heads a bit about how he, you know, always managed to find a way to get into the starting lineup. But credit to him, he's come on. And it's weird, actually, because he sort of, yeah, he came on to slot in at left back. Yet, you know, and then all of a sudden there he is in kind of the centre of the pitch, driving forward and banging himself a good goal. So not going to have a go at him for his positional sense there, because it ended in a goal. But yeah, everybody played their part in that performance. And it was, as the first clip said, I think, you know, it's definitely the best performance that I can note, all things considered, in certainly a long while. You know, the fact we're down to 10 men and everybody just seemed to be on their game, and there was three or four that were really at the top of their game. So yeah, it was great all round. Well,
there's an interesting point that I've actually had to cut out from Rob's. He left about a 5-minute voice message, and he pointed out that he didn't trust anyone more than Hodgson to get 10 men to produce the goods. And usually, I'm trying to think, when we go down to 10, we invariably lose. So, Hesketh, did that make it extra sweet, do you think?
It did. A mate of mine, Miserable Dave, was actually on sabbatical from being miserable and said the same about Hodgson. And he's been slightly critical of Roy at times, as I have, so I'm not trying to dig him out. But he just said, you know, Roy's the manager you want in that position, because he knows how to get people organised. He knows how to have a set up in order to sort of still play our own game. And I thought we were brilliant. I thought, you know, Bournemouth played their part in that they were shit. But I think a lot of that has to do with our shape and what we were able to do when we did get on the ball. So yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for Roy's part in that performance. And it, after having had those five games against the big teams or whatever you want to call them, to follow up a really good win away to Burnley with a performance of 70-75 minutes with 10 men, and come out with it with a deserved win as well. You know, it wasn't like we were defending for our lives and sort of eked out one shot and scored. We looked very good. So I think, yeah, as much as that the players are getting a lot of credit and deservedly so, I do think that Roy played a big part in us getting that win and pushing us up to European places.
Yeah, unfortunately, our fifth position was stolen by Wolves, those cheeky Wolves. But one of the things he did, I was actually discussing this before the game, we went to the Red and Blue Bar in a bid to make sure that we got to our seats in good time. We thought we'd go very close to the stadium. You can't go much closer than being in it. We were discussing what would happen if there was an injury in defence. And obviously there wasn't an injury, there was a red card. We'll get to that in a minute. But I suggested that he wouldn't play Riedewald despite the fact he was on the bench, just because he will never play Riedewald, and that we'd put Kouyaté at the back. And Chris Clark of this parish told me I was a crazy, crazy cracker. And then he went ahead and did it. So I felt very vindicated, and I felt like I knew what I was talking about for once. Let's have a quick one last comment from a listener. This is Rory discussing Kouyaté and being dumped at the back. Obviously, he has played centre-back before for West Ham. But yeah, this is what he had to say on that change.
Kouyaté at centre-back. What do you do? He's playing really, really well. He's man of the match up to 20 minutes. He carries that on. And I don't know if that's his own self-belief. I don't know if that's a position he's played before. It just felt like a proper Palace performance. Like, all hands on deck. It wasn't really a backs against the wall mentality, because the boys believed and Bournemouth weren't that good. I'd say one thing about Bournemouth, that manager's off.
There's a lot to dissect there, but I think what he's trying to say, and I would certainly agree, is that Kouyaté at centre-back was almost a personification of the gritty Palace performance. And it didn't feel to me, standing watching it, like we were actually going to concede. So it's good to know that Kouyaté can play as centre back. It's been discussed on this pod and other pods in the past that, you know, we've got more defenders than we think because Kouyaté is somebody that's got experience at centre back. And to me, gentlemen, he really did look as decent as anyone else.
Yeah, completely. And if you know, depending on the fitness of everybody else, and it's all a bit sort of ramshackle a bit at the moment in terms of personnel, you know, if he comes out of the tunnel at Vicarage Road and slots in at centre-half alongside Tompkins or Kelly or whoever it is, you know, we're very fortunate that, we are very blessed in that position. And when, you know, when all those potential centre-halves are fit, I struggle to name a preferred two. It's, you know, it's a real conundrum. It's a shame we don't have that problem all over the pitch, but, you know, we can't be greedy, but we're certainly secure there. And like I say, if Kouyaté slots in at centre-half at the weekend and that gives, I don't know, maybe McCarthy starts or, you know, maybe gives one of the more creative midfielders a chance to come on, it'd be good to see. We're in safe hands at the back.
We are, although someone obviously won't be playing is Mamadou Sakho. The dubious honour of being the first man to be sent off in prime. So he's gone down in the record books for that. Do you reckon it was a harsh sending off, Heskiff?
Probably not. I mean, you know, a lot of people have said 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that wouldn't be a red card. But, I mean, if someone did that to one of our players, if that challenge went in on Wilf or Andros or something, I'd probably be shouting for a red. I think he's really unlucky in that, the you know, he went for the ball and he got it, and I think the Bournemouth player pushed out of it a little bit and he caught him. But I think these days when it's that high, whether it's completely intentional or not, they tend to get red cards. So if it's possible to say he was unlucky, but I think it's a red, then I'll go with that.
That is a proper cop-out answer, but yeah, fair enough. Let's just cover one thing before we cover a bit of Palace news for the week. Schlupp's winner. There were some limbs in the stadium and it was only 2/3 full. Heskiff, so you were, you know, you're about 20 rows in front of me. What was it like?
Yeah, mad. I've got loads of bruises on my leg still from it. And the guy who stands in front of me, who is Tom Fansett, formerly of this parish's, his dad stands in front of me, and he brought what I think was probably like an exchange student, because he didn't look like he spoke much English when he was being explained stuff.
Bit racist, but carry on.
But he was, I've lost my train of thought now.
Sober up.
Oh God, it's the bubbles. He loved the HF. Like, he turned around and saw the HF and block E with all the flags and that. And it, like, wide-eyed, he was really wide-eyed. And then when Schlupp was running through, you could see he was, like, really getting into the game by that point. And when it went in, yeah, like you say, many limbs were thrown. And he was absolutely fucking loving it, which almost made it even better, seeing how into it he was. The atmosphere throughout the game was good, but second half, I thought the atmosphere was absolutely superb. And obviously, the crescendo of it come at the goal. And it just shows, you know, what a rocking atmosphere we've got when it gets going. I genuinely think it's untouchable in the league when we're like that.
There was a guy, I think he's probably about 3 or 4 rows behind me, but after the goal went in, he, for whatever reason, I don't think it was deliberate, I think he might have been pushed or something like that, just saw him Superman past me, knocked me over on his way down, but must have gone through about 4 rows, like proper Klinsmann dived, knocks a fair few people over, and I have some serious bruises on my shins from smacking the seats in front. But it was pretty incredible. I think people were, A, relieved because, you know, 10 men for 70 minutes. And B, just stunned that a very similar goal to the two that were scored against Burnley was then scored against Bournemouth, and it feels like there's a formula. It was definitely a real feel-good factor. Albert, I don't think you were at the game, were you? How was it on TV?
On the old Amazon Prime. Yeah, it was good.
You were on Amazon Prime,
yeah.
Were you?
I'm on now. I'm currently watching Brighton putting quite a good display against Arsenal, which is a bit worrying. Yeah, it was good. I mean, I can't get to the midweek games. It's just too far away, and so it was nice to have an easy option to find it and stream it. But yeah, even on the TV, the atmosphere was very apparent and kept cutting to the crowd of the HF and people with their tops off, which was mad because it must have been fucking freezing. But it was great. It was really nice just to sit there and watch it and enjoy it. And yeah, it's a shame couldn't make it. But yeah, I mean, if we're going to win every time, if we're going to play like that every time we go on Amazon Prime, then I hope it takes off, because it really was a nice performance to actually sit there and be able to enjoy. Like, it wasn't, red card aside, there was no kind of nail biting moments, and it was like watching a nice family film that you've seen sort of 50 times before. It was very relaxing. It was really nice to watch.
Like Animal Farm or something like that.
Orwell one or the...
Well, let's leave it there. Let's go for a quick break. We'll come back with a bit of news and then a preview of the Watford game.
Reviews, predictions, comments and rants. Send us your voice clips on WhatsApp. 0203-575-1266.
So just following on from discussing the Bournemouth game, the main thing that made the headlines, made the papers, was the HF's statement against Amazon Prime that they held during the game. And I was standing behind one of the banners.
Do they not like next day delivery on everything?
I mean, they might. Yeah, they're obviously not massive fans. I'm not a member of Amazon Prime, so I can't comment. But I was fairly pissed off at the 7:30 kickoff, and I'm already not a fan of Monday night games, especially Sunday 12 o'clock kickoffs, that kind of thing. So I think their point was a valid one, that the fans that travel to the games often suffer, and 7:30 is definitely. You know, people were still streaming in from work. One of my friends was 20 minutes late into the game. So frustrating. But it's good that the HF, you know, they made the Evening Standard. And it shows that people are thinking about the fans that travel, spend their hard-earned money on going to the games. And it was another, probably a lot of hard work went into making that banner. And a lot of confused people that didn't know what it said, that were just day trippers for the night, holding up a banner that they didn't even know what it said. But they did their bit. And the flags were up in force. It felt good. But one of the other news stories actually came out just before we decided to choose today to record the pod. Andros Townsend wrote a blog, an incredible blog, that came out today. For those who haven't seen it or haven't read it yet, do one of you just want to talk people through what he says?
Yeah, I had to read a bit at lunch today when I was sweating through my eyeballs. And essentially, he had a gambling issue when he was younger, when he was earlier on in his career, and he was sort of being farmed out on loan and sort of said that, you know, he was a bit cocky, and whilst he doesn't drink or go to clubs or any of that, his vice for a certain period of time was gambling, and he ended up losing 46 grand in one night. But, you know, he found help and sort of came out through the other side. And it's interesting because I think a lot of people like Andros, but he's quite a quiet bloke, and he, you know, he's not flashy, and you don't see him plastered all over social media and that, really. So for him to come out and say that, you know, he had this problem and he sought help for it, and, you know, like I say, came through the other side, it was a really eye-opening thing. But what really got me as well was how well he writes. You know, it wasn't a you know, loads of short sentences with sort of saying the same thing over and over again. It was like a real explanation of how he felt and why he did what he did. And it was a brilliant read. And if you haven't read it, I would really recommend doing so, because, you know, it's a very interesting read. It highlights a lot of important things. And you know, if you don't love Andros already, you certainly will after you've read that.
Yeah, we've actually posted it on our Twitter at Back of the Nest. A couple of things have stuck out for me. One, that he lost his brother in a car accident at the age of 18. His older brother, who he looked up to, who was on the way to being a professional footballer as well. That's very sad. And clearly, he was trying to suggest that, you know, he was coping with things that he wasn't talking about to people with by gambling. So, if he'd have had a therapist or someone to chat to about losing his brother, maybe he wouldn't be quite such an addictive personality. And I think that is a wider society issue. And it's good that he's bringing it up. The other thing, he says that, you know, he's happy in himself at Palace in a way that he hasn't been for the rest of his life. And he sort of ends at the end by saying, you know, people say, oh, Andros Townsend, he was better when he was 22. And he says, you know, he doesn't mind that. He's lost some of his flair play, but he's become a better all-round player, and that's certainly the case. So a very humble man for somebody that's in the limelight as much as him. I can't think of any Palace player I'd rather have a pint with, other than, I suppose, maybe Wayne Hennessy, to talk him through German history from about 1933 till 1945. But yeah, it's an article well worth reading. And as Hesketh says, he can write. He's obviously a very, very intelligent man. Possibly more intelligent than any of us on this pod. But yes, let's get on to the preview of Watford. So the first thing I'll say is we lost not once, not twice, but three times to them last season. Let's have a little reminder of what happened last time we went up to Vicarage Road. If you please, Sam.
Busted back in by Holopas again, Waita came, and Capu scored! And Watford break through in the cup tie! Oh, Mariapa's got into trouble here, and Batshuayi is in and equalises! One moment, one goal. Pereira. Scooped up towards Gray! Watford have their lead back! And they're 11 minutes from the semi-final.
The last game that we played at Vicarage Road was a cup game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be the quarter-final of the FA Cup, yeah.
Yeah, I remember, speaking of atmospheres there, I remember the atmosphere there being absolutely brilliant, especially after we equalised. And I really thought we were going to kick on and get the win there. But annoyingly, we sort of pissed about and didn't really do much. And then they scored right near the end, which was really irritating, because even though it's a sort of fabricated rivalry, Watford do wind me up quite a bit. I don't like them at all. So, you know, not playing great and then getting yourself back into it and not using that as a springboard to then go and actually beat them was very frustrating. But I suppose the silver lining was that they got absolutely annihilated and embarrassed at the cup final. So, you know, small mercies.
It's probably one of their last decent results, actually.
Yeah, it probably was. Our results against them last year were not great, and I'm hoping this year that we can sort of right that wrong. Me being the man that I am, and them being bottom of the league and crap, makes me think that we're going to louse it up somehow. But we can hope that we improve on last year's debacles.
Yeah, well, it can't really get much worse. I mean, recent Watford results the last month, they just lost this week 2-0 away at Leicester. You know, there'd be better teams than Watford losing 2-0 to Leicester including ourselves. They lost 2-1 away at Southampton after leading 1-0. I think that's probably the one that's really hurt them. That's the one that lost the manager, well, the second manager this season, his job. Before that, the 3-0 home defeat to Burnley, I watched the highlights of that was pathetic. They did beat Norwich, which looked like it might be them turning a corner, but it seemed like a full storm. And before that, they lost to Chelsea. So this is a side that obviously is in poor form, and it's reflected in the fact that they're bottom of the league. But there's a couple of things that worry me. The first is that obviously in temporary charge at the moment is Hayden Mullins. Tell me your memories of Hayden Mullins as a Palace player. Mine is mainly him wearing that kind of balloon of a shirt that we had back in the early 2000s that actually dwarfed him. But he was a great player for us, and it feels a bit weird that he's going to be facing us on Saturday.
My memories of Hayden Mullins, albeit I was quite young when he was sort of in the team, my memories of Hayden Mullins is never being quite sure what his best position was. And that's not having a go at him, not saying he was any good, but you know, he'd be like centre half, then all of a sudden he'd be in midfield or at full back. But he, you know, he racked up a lot of games for us, didn't he, really? And then where did he go off? Was it Portsmouth?
I'll have a look while you keep talking.
Was it Portsmouth? But then he did the thing where he turned up at Charlton at some point. So I mean, like I say, my memories of him, he was around for years, and then he kind of seemed to like go to all the clubs that we don't like.
Didn't he go to West Ham?
That's right, West Ham. Don't like them.
No.
Yeah, it's got quite a shady list of clubs post Palace.
West Ham, Pompey.
Yeah.
Birmingham City. Oh, finished his career in Notts County.
Notts County, that's fair enough. But yeah, I didn't realise he was associated with Watford at all. So when they sort of announced on the radio that he was the man in charge, that was a real shock. But you know, I've got no emotion there really. I hope we stick another few goals past them and compound the misery.
Well, the other thing is, Paddy Power posted today that one Alan Pardew has been slashed from 33-1 to 8-1 to be the next Watford manager. So what do you think about that, Eskiff?
Get him in, 100%. I think he's just the man that a club in turmoil needs to alpha his way around the club and send them right back down to the Championship. I would absolutely love
it. You don't want him being given the job before Saturday, though.
No, I don't think he will. It's too late now, isn't it? I reckon.
I'm sure he's knocking on the door somewhere.
But I'm sure he can have a nice little dance with Harry the Hornet or whatever.
If he's going to be involved, he'll be sitting somewhere in the stands wearing a cravat and sunglasses, trying to look inconspicuous, but at the same time, trying to make everyone look at him. Actually reposted the Paddy Power comment on Twitter today. You know, quite derisory. And a gentleman, I'm not going to give him the oxygen of publicity by saying his name. What's your problem with Pardew? At least there was some excitement and I seem to recall a cup final. Your podcasts were worth listening to back then as well. Now we get the same old yawn. So I told him that he can feel free to stop listening. So hopefully he has.
Well, I think that coincides with the time that I started doing them. So I probably should take that.
Yeah, well. Nigel, at this point, say, hello, Dad. Hope you're well.
Yes. yeah. So, I mean, look, the other thing that worries me is that Troy Deeney was back for the Leicester game. And I don't know if I'm a bit of a victim of TalkSport and other places saying, oh, Watford are going to be all right when Troy Deeney's back. I don't know how fit he is, whether he's 100% fit or, you know, and I don't remember him being the kind of player that could change a club's fortunes on his own. You know, his shithousery has messed clubs around before. I remember the win against Arsenal last season and the comments he made afterwards. So is anyone else worried that Deeney's back? Do you think it'll make a difference?
I think it's more that I think he'll do all right because I don't like him. That tends to be how I base my completely irrational decisions on anything. I mean, I haven't really followed Watford too much, to be honest. I saw that their £40 million man got his first goal against Southampton. So at least that's chalked off. It's hard to say, isn't it? But I think our defence, going by their previous few performances, whoever's been in the defence, are not really ones to get bullied too much. So hopefully, whether he's in or not, we'll be able to cope with him.
The thing that worries me about Deeney coming back into the team isn't necessarily, you know, his quality or anything like that. I think you think back to the last few, you know, let's go, perfect case in point, the three losses last season. You know, they are, Watford are at their best when they're in full shithouse mode. And the person that really leads that charge for them and encourages that is Mr. Deeney himself. So, like I say, I'm not necessarily concerned about his footballing prowess, but just that kind of shithouse talismanic quality that he brings to that team can be hugely frustrating. And, you know, even before last season, when we lost there, when was it, Kapuwe tried to rip off Wilf's Achilles with his studs, you know, they really do sort of bite and spit their way to victories against us. And if he's in the team, the sort of the likelihood of that happening kind of increases. So hopefully we can still keep them in their bad run on Saturday, and we won't have to suffer seeing Troy Deeney celebrating with his god-awful grin.
What I am hoping, you mentioned that Kapu challenge. Now, at least now we've got VAR, you would think that their sort of massive shithousing against Wilf won't be able to get away with it quite
true
as
enough.
Much.
True enough. Guys, I've got to stop you there. You know, this, all right, this is a podcast, so you listen to this a day later. I've got Amazon Prime on the Arsenal Brighton game, Brighton winning, don't like to see it. It's just gone to half time. Who's in the studio? Give you a clue. He's got glasses on, not wearing a cravat.
Hey.
He's literally in my living room.
You can't escape him. You can't escape him.
And I live in Watford. It's an omen. He's going to be the next Watford manager.
I was going to say, because presumably you're not going to be too bothered if Palace leaves, because you know Watford are going to win.
At least it's a short journey home. Can't dwell on it too much. Whereas if we lose at Selhurst, I have to sit in the car for an hour and a half and really think about it. Yeah. No, I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. It's just an awful club. Awful club. And I don't know if anyone saw it on Twitter. I noticed they've got a club shop in the local shopping centre that's on the first floor. And I said it should be on the bottom floor. But, I kind of feel like I'm in deep in enemy territory and I have to kind of watch my lip.
I mean, they probably had harsher burns than that in the past, but I mean, if we beat them, I mean, they're in deep trouble anyway. But if we get 3 points off them, they're bang in trouble, and there's a lot of teams that keep picking up points where we didn't expect them to at the start of the season. So, other than Norwich and maybe arguably Southampton, who obviously beat them, there's not too many teams that you'd say you probably expect anyone to get 3 points against. You know, it's a real toss-up this season. So it's great to see that Watford are doing as badly as they are. Let's get on to predictions. So in the spirit of Terence, I always try to be a poor man's Terence as much as possible. I put up a poll earlier today pointing out that we were doing the podcast and asking what people's predictions were for the game. So for a win, I went with Isaac success. See what I did there? It's probably quite on the nose, that one. And then
next,
for a draw, well, Beck deserved draw.
Yeah.
And then Andre, grade day defeat.
Oh.
Yeah, see, all of them, absolute gold. So two-thirds of you 67% went for Isaac's success. 13% went for Welbeck deserved draw. 13%. And Andre Gray, 20%. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of positivity. I feel that that's maybe setting us up for a fall, but then I am pretty negative. So what are your predictions, gentlemen? Albert, you first.
I'm strangely, I'm confident in this one. I really, really hope that I think we're going to put 3 past them. I think we're going to win 3-0.
Jesus. Mm.
3?
Yeah.
Who have we scored 3 against this season so far?
No one? We've not scored 3 goals in the game, have we, this season?
Okay. He's optimistic. So 3 without reply.
3, I nearly went 3-1. Just that Troy Deeney thing's niggling me, but I'm gonna stand firm and say 3-0.
Okay, and who's scoring?
I'm gonna go. Schlupp's gonna go 3-3. He's gonna be 3-3. Wilf is really due a. What I would call a vintage performance against Watford. So I think he'll get on the score sheet. And I think right at the end, there'll be a cynical scything down of somebody like Wilf, and Luca will slot a penalty away.
Okay, I like that optimism. Hesketh?
I've convinced myself now, because of how crap they're doing, that they're going to beat us. So I'm going to say 2-1 to Watford, unfortunately. And I think Jordan Ayew will score for us.
Right, because the first time that you went for a win in history, we got one. So you don't want to stick with that. You want to give up on that bit of very next episode.
Well, I don't want to jinx the gold. So we've got a game coming up against Brighton. So maybe I'll return to winning ways there.
Okay, 2-1. So a convincing win for Albert, a very, very depressing loss for Hesketh. I'm going to go for a draw because I feel like Watford are going to raise their game and they're just going to put in one of those aforementioned shithouse performances and going to stress people out. Hopefully, Wilf is true to his words from his interview the other day, and he's going to stop listening to people. He's going to stop getting rolled up, stop letting people upset him. And if that's the case, I think he will run rings around them. But I feel if anyone can get under his skin, it's probably Watford. So I'm going to go 1 apiece, which I think would be a disappointing result. And I will go for an IU goal because he's gone at least 2 games without one. So obviously he's due. Obviously, if we win, then we're going to still be in the European places. If we lose, maybe we can kiss the European trips goodbye. And that would be very sad. So, just before we go, a couple of things to request. If you could just subscribe to us on your podcast app. Apparently, that makes a big difference to people hearing us as well as leaving reviews. Or follow us on Spotify. More and more people are listening to us on Spotify. That's very kind. There'll be a review show on Sunday night hosted by Hambo. I'm not sure who else is joining him yet. And then obviously Love Sport back on Tuesday, or you can re-listen to this week's episode now on your pod stream. Follow us on all the socials. And then if you want to leave some voice clips after the game, as we've done today, we'll play them out for you. So until Sunday and the review show, let's all hope that we can take Watford down and make ourselves very happy for the weekend. Enjoy it.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.